But what I found really interesting, actually, was that there was so much more hostility that they were experiencing from the British and the American men than they were from the men in Latin America, who were actually much more supportive of their efforts. And it could be because they were on the same delegation in some cases, so they didn't want to necessarily get in fights with people like Bertha Letts. But but nonetheless, there was a receptiveness there that completely contradicts a lot of the paternal rhetoric around those nations being quote-unquote backwards and not sufficiently sophisticated and things like that.
Well, if I could jump in, I want to maybe offer a sort of gentle nudge to encourage you to think about where the intersection is between sort of feminist claims and human rights claims, because I hear a lot of feminism but not a lot of human rights in here. There's someone whose name I forget, it's a grad student, who's actually working on a dissertation now looking at women's movements around the world and the early sort of human rights period in the 40s and 50s. And one of the questions I had is, to the extent that we can recover this, to what degree are women who are engaging with the UN project and with the early sort of debates around the UDHR framing feminist claims in human rights terms? And to what degree are they framing them in other terms? In Indonesia, you know, those who are the Indonesian Women's Congress, you know, most of them are socialists and communists, and after 65, they're all dead or in prison. So there is no sort of feminist movement in Indonesia. There later on is a movement that emerges around family planning. But really, the early Indonesian women's movement is very focused on sort of national goals, suffrage, property rights, marriage rights. Globally, their conception of themselves as women is as anti-colonial activists, but they don't think of themselves as feminists in a sort of global sense. And to the extent that they're engaging with human rights as a project, it's suggesting that the language of the UDHR should apply to women's rights in Indonesia, mostly vis-a-vis Islamic organizations that wanted to restrict, you know, marriage rights and property rights and things like this. So I'm wondering, sort of in a Latin American context, how are these women thinking about human rights as feminists, or as are thinking about human rights mostly as feminists, mostly as Latin Americanists, mostly as people who are anti-American, mostly as middle-class women, and how are they engaging in this, and how can we start to try and recover this as historians when we do research on the way that these people are interacting with these debates?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say they were anti-American by any means, but I think if we look at, for example, the speeches given by Lutz and by Bernardino, they very much so identify themselves as feminist human rights actors or delegates, or that's the position that they've sort of taken on in their delegation. You know, Minerva Bernardino was the president of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, and on the Women's Commission also originating from the Caribbean. So these were very, very much so active folks, but obviously not without their flaws in terms of what I'm trying to talk about, too, around an absence of a racial consciousness in that kind of way. So I think it's sort of all of the above in terms of what you're talking about. You know, they approach it as feminists, they approach it as human rights activists, they approached it as also privileged women who were afforded an education that at that time a lot of indigenous women, for instance, or other women of color would not have had access to. Most were, in a particular class status in their respective countries that afforded them a level of protection in terms of experiencing different forms of oppression at the time.
It's also interesting to read a contemporary version of this. I think I've been working on the human right to water, and it's sort of an emergent, a new right. And when I talk about environmental rights generally, I talk about the contribution of feminist theory along with communitarian theory. But human rights to water especially, I mean, it first shows up in CETA, you know, and it's as a right, it is specifically referred to as a right of development for women, because in many countries it's the women who go get the water.
Yeah.
And so to give them a right to water doesn't necessarily make it easier to get, but make it, you know, possible to get some at all. And the other place it shows up is in the Convention on the Rights of the Child. So in both cases, you're talking about a kind of new right that's emerging on a very local and feminist basis, not because there's been some Western or NGO, making noise about expanding human rights into this new area. So, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the kind of Foucauldian capillary nature of power here the last couple of days, actually, and this seems to be, this might be one of those interesting examples of that, too.
The capillary flow is reversed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Other questions? Yeah, Glenn.
Two women of color who were definitely at San Francisco that you might want to think about are Mary Bethune,
yeah.
who's the third member of the NAACP, and then Veal Pandit. Right.
Right.
She's
but yeah,
there,
they.
She's running around, you know.
Yeah.
And she's and both of these people are, I mean, I don't know. I guess this would be the question, right? Are they excluded from the United Women's Conference because the organizers just didn't think to invite them, or were these two they didn't think that they that conference was something that was talking about what they had come to
right.
San Francisco to talk about?
Right. I mean, they'd gone to the NAACP once.
Well, yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
Go
to this one, yeah.
But which way is that? I mean, who's drawing the line about this? Is it the women who are saying no? You were, you know, you're talking about colonialism and race, and that's not what we're doing. Or is it they themselves who've decided again in a similar way that what Brad's describing is that? Well, when I'm on the international stage, what I'm talking about is
mm-hmm.
not women's rights, but about colonization
mm-hmm.
or racial discrimination.
Mm-hmm.